In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to draw your attention to a couple of lines from the hymn that we just sang. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see. Moses asked the Lord God to let him behold the Lord's glory. And the Lord said to Moses, none may see my face and live, so I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I shall make all my glory pass before you, and then you may turn and look upon my hinder parts. But none can see my face and live. None can see God's face and live. Well, face here, you could say, is used by way of a metaphor, although I'm not going to push that point too hard. But let's put it this way. None may come face to face with a God infinite in his holiness, his majesty, his glory, and live. I don't know if anyone here has ever been struck by lightning. Well, you have, close to it. It's not something you would care to repeat. It left you addled. It left you on the concrete. It took you to the emergency room, didn't it? Yeah. Well, no one here would like to meet a lightning bolt this afternoon, up close and personal. But a lightning bolt, being struck by that, would be nothing like coming face to face with a God, again, infinite in his holiness, his majesty, his glory, his power, his might, his otherness. You see, God is other than we are. You are not God. I am not God. There is only one God. And this one God exists in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Not three gods, as the Athanasian Creed reminds us, but one God, one unity of divine substance in three persons. Isaiah, in the temple, had a vision of the Lord. He said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, exalted in his glory, exalted in his might, exalted in his divine being. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Now, Isaiah is speaking in priestly terms here, and this again can be understood metaphorically because God the Father does not wear a robe. He does not wear a train, and train means the, you know, what trails behind the robe. Although Christ Jesus, our Savior, who has been seated at the right hand of God, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is our priest. He is the one who has offered himself in sacrifice for us and for the sins of the world. So you could say the train of his robe represents the very glory of God, and the temple is God's dwelling place. Here, his dwelling place in heaven. But Isaiah may well have had this vision of the Lord in the temple of Jerusalem. Isaiah did not say, cool, wow, I like this. This is neat. No, Isaiah didn't. As the seraphim were there before the Lord in his presence, as they called one to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And as the foundations of the thresholds of the temple shook, just as Mount Sinai was shaken by an earthquake when the Lord God descended upon that mountain to deliver the Ten Commandments to his people through Moses, and the house was filled with smoke, with clouds of glory. Again, just as there was smoke on the mountain where the Lord God came down and gave his law to Moses. So it was here in Isaiah's vision in the temple. And what was his response? Again, it was not cool. It was not even how good, Lord, to be here. His response was a cry of woe, a cry that expressed his undoing, a cry that expressed his fear in the presence of the Holy One of Israel. And he said, "Woe is me." If you know Yiddish, you may know the oy vey. That's also in Hebrew. Again, oy vey is not a comical phrase, although it has come to be that. Oy vey is woe. Oy vey is I am lost, I am undone. And again, this is what Isaiah's response was when he saw the holiness, the utter otherness of God, when he, a mortal, sinful being, was allowed this glimpse of the majesty of God. Woe is me, for I am lost. None can see my face and live. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, the Lord God Sabaoth, the Lord of celestial armies, the Lord who rules the heavens and the earth, the Lord who is far beyond my imagining, far beyond me, a sinful human being. Woe is me, for I am lost. That which is sinful cannot enter the presence of a holy God. That which is mortal cannot enter the presence of an infinite, eternal God. And Isaiah knew this and recognized this. And Isaiah saw no way out. Woe is me! Because I have seen the presence of Him who is thrice holy. And I am undone. The holy, holy, holy here is echoed in Scripture multiple times. It's even found in our liturgy, in the Sanctus. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Three-personed reality of the one divine being, again, is expressed in our liturgy multiple times. Think of the benediction that the Lord God commanded Moses to have Aaron speak upon the people so that his name might dwell upon them. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor, with grace and mercy, and give you peace. And yet that grace and mercy and peace seemed far from Isaiah. For he had seen something beyond his comprehension. He had beheld something he never expected to see. And he saw himself as undone. So it would be for you and me if right now we were to enter into the presence of God, or God in all of his glory, his unveiled glory, were to come among us now. We would have a response very much like Isaiah's. We would have a response very similar to the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the presence of God, the glory of God, overshadowed Jesus and Moses and Elijah in the form of a cloud. We would fall down on our faces and say, "Woe is me. I am a person of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." That which comes out of the mouth does not, or goes into the mouth, does not make a man unclean, Jesus said. In other words, we aren't made unclean by what we eat or drink, but that which comes out of the mouth, cursings and blasphemy, these things come from the evil heart within. Have you ever used your words in a way that would not be pleasing to God? I won't ask for a show of hands because I know you all have, just as I have. We are a people of unclean lips. But wait a minute. What have we done today so far in the liturgy? What have we done in the hymns that we have sung? We have confessed the reality of the Holy Trinity. We have sung praises to the God who has made himself known to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. We are given clean lips for the sake of Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who came down from heaven and was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, who was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate, who descended into hell and the third day rose again from the dead, who ascended to the right hand of God, who himself is the very temple of God, in whom God mutes his glory and comes among us in a way that does not blast us out of the water, but a way that can be grasped, a way that can be apprehended, a way that does not destroy us, but blesses us eternally. Isaiah confessed himself as undone, as lost. Here we have something marvelous, something miraculous, something wonderful. One of the seraphim flew to Isaiah, and he had in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. This burning coal was so holy, so imbued with the power and majesty of God, that the seraphim had to grasp it, lift it up, take it from the altar with tongs. And yet the seraphim took this burning coal and he touched Isaiah's mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for." Behold, the very body and blood of your Savior, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The very body and blood of the God who assumed to himself our human nature by becoming man, gives you his body to eat and his blood to drink for the forgiveness of your sins. You know, you would be lost apart from Christ. You would be destroyed eternally apart from Christ, a never-ending destruction which would be horrible to imagine. And yet for Jesus' sake, for the sake of the proclamation of the gospel, through your baptism, your sin is atoned for. It is taken away. It is removed from you as far as the east is from the west, or even the north is from the south. And you are given clean lips, lips to sing God's glory and praises to the triune God, and thanksgiving to the God who has redeemed you in Christ Jesus. Thy strong word did cleave the darkness of our sin. At thy speaking it was done. Just as God created the heavens and the earth by the power of his word, so he has declared you righteous and holy in Jesus Christ. Though we at one time dwelt in darkness, dark as night and deep as death, God broke the light of his salvation upon us through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And this God has given us lips, clean lips, to sing His glory, the glory of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He has opened our lips that our mouth may declare the praises of this God. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim Thy glory. My mouth shall confess Thy name before all the world, before the angels in heaven, before the devils in hell. We have had a revelation to us of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father, to whom is assigned the special work of creation, although the Son and the Spirit participated in this work, as Scripture tells us. The Son who became man for us. Because had He not become man, your sins could not be taken away. Had He not become man, we could never know God except in terror and fright and undoneness. Woe. Woe. I'm not talking to a horse there. The Son became man to die for us so that we might know this majestic God is a merciful, loving, heavenly Father who works all things for our good. And then the Holy Spirit, apart from whom we could not know Christ as our Savior, apart from whom we could not believe, apart from whom we would remain in darkness. For the Holy Spirit works through the gospel. He works through the means of grace. The Holy Spirit is at work here in the proclamation of the gospel today. He is at work in the reading of the word. He is at work in the hymns we sing, in the liturgy we sing. He is at work through preaching. He continues His work of grace and mercy and salvation. Through your baptism, which was not just for yesterday, but is for all eternity. And He works as Christ's body and blood is taken from the altar and placed upon your lips, in your mouth, upon your tongue. So you can leave the altar this morning and every morning with this assurance. Behold this, Christ's body and blood has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of Sabaoth. Heaven and earth are full of His glory, and the earth is especially full of His glory, not merely because He created it, but because the Son of God became a creature, entered into this world, entered into our human reality to redeem us from sin and death and hell. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.